Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started. Happy Saturday!
Yes, we in the building, y'all. We in the building. We got a special guest. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm excited about this one, y'all. We're gonna get into it. But first off, how are y'all doing? How's the week been?
I'm great. Me and my wife recently had a baby.
Yay! Congratulations!
Of course, we have bags under our eyes.
How many hours you getting?
Oh my goodness! Last night was one of them nights.
So
I've been up since 6 o'clock.
Oh, morning, bless
but,
you!
No, it's hard work, but it's so amazing. Like, it's such a gift to just see her. She wears us out through the night, and then we wake up in the morning, and she's smiling.
And y'all tired.
Looking ugly in the morning and smiling because we're so happy about it. I'm excited. It's hard work, but I'm excited.
Congratulations.
What number is this?
This is number one. This is our first
Ooh.
Baby.
This is our resident mama, so she got some tips for
you. Oh, yeah. Look.
Tell them how many you have.
I have four.
Please drop some knowledge. And we have a little village, but we're but 2-month-old, and it's been amazing.
I love it. And can you share, what's her name?
Epic Elaine Armstrong.
Okay, Epic Elaine. Yes, Epic.
Elaine, the middle name, of course, Epic is just Epic.
Yes.
Amazing too, but the middle name comes from my aunt who was tragically murdered when
I was a
kid.
Oh, wow.
And she was like my favorite aunt.
Oh, wow.
Time.
Yeah.
And so when we were having a girl, I was like, man, and my wife knew the history too.
I had
so many stories. She was like, we have to.
Oh.
Like, yes. So that's what we did.
And it flows.
Yes,
that's
it does.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
wow. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank
we're going to get into that too, because I'm sure now that you a pop-up, you know, a papa, I'm sure that has, changed some perspective. So, well, if y'all don't know, this is the amazing Jordan Armstrong that we have the pleasure of interviewing today. So I'm just going to tell y'all now, I may fan out a little bit. I've been a fan for a minute. Y'all, we're going to get into that. I've been a fan for a minute. So, but yeah, we got to talk. Yeah. I'm sure things have changed now that you are a pop.
Hey,
so
things are different. And, I see things so different now. It's crazy. Just 3 months ago, I was a different person. Now everything has changed.
So, love it. Wow. Okay. Well, y'all, we're about to get into it. In case you didn't know, this is the amazing Jordan Armstrong. And I'm going to read your bio for those who don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to read your bio. So Baton Rouge, Louisiana native. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Indeed. From the Southern LA. All
right.
But transcends the traditional approach to gospel music and hooks you in by offering a fresh take. The intersectionality of urban, inspirational, mainstream, and gospel is Jordan's sweet spot. He is one of the exceptional talents who has taken the potent influence of his church upbringing and combined it with his pop sensibilities to become one of the most original voices in gospel music today. Since his debut album, Champion, in early 2009, Jordan found the formula that makes him unique. Steadfast in his call to gospel music, Jordan always knew it would be gospel for him. That's amazing. A singer's singer, the multi-hyphenate is also a songwriter, a producer, and an actor. Armstrong was deeply involved with music from the beginning. He started working behind the scenes with several artists in his hometown and singing at churches around the city, building his discography with well-received albums, Stronger, 2012, 52 Weeks of Summer, 2015. Jordan went on to release a slew of the Blessed EP releases in 2018 that catapulted his career. Also, he released Church Girls Love R&B in 2022, which debuted at number one on the R&B iTunes charts. Yes. Now, Jordan's new music continues in the space he created with his previous hits. It's feel good. It's up tempo. It has fun music while empowering people by reminding them where their blessings come from. His quote, "I want to create music for a Christian that isn't just for Sunday." Amen. It's music for Monday night, Tuesday, and even Saturday night to have a good time and feel empowered. So give it up, y'all, for Jordan Armstrong.
Thank you so much. I feel like a pastor. I said, oh, this is how awkward. That's why the pastor be sitting there. What do you do when they're reading that, man? That's so cool to hear that stuff back. It just sends me back to when I first started. So that was cool to hear.
Thank you. So we have a segment called What Had Happened Was.
Okay. Let's go.
And we're just going to tell just a couple of stories. You know, we talk a lot about hip hop. Hip hop is celebrating 50 years, yeah. So we've been talking about how we were influenced by hip hop. And, you always get the question of when did you fall in love with hip hop?
Yeah.
Today, we're going to talk about when did you fall in love with R&B?
Let's do it.
Because everybody know, I'm going to tell you, I'm the Christian that be, doing the body roll.
Yeah.
That's me.
And you know what? Nobody ever asked me that. See? How did I fall in love? I've never been asked that question before. So that's a great question.
So you
started with me or y'all?
All
right. Well, what had happened was how I fell in love with R&B. So I was a kid. I grew up in church for sure. With a single mother. My mom was a singer. My mom still sings. Okay. So people are like, is she still here? My mama told me too. She was like, sometimes you sound like I died in your interview. So my mom is still alive. Shout out to me. She's actually at my house right now. She's home visiting. But no, my mom was singing in church and she was a singer and she was really big in singing backup for a lot of gospel artists growing up. And so I always knew I wanted to sing. And so in our house, it was only gospel music.
Okay.
So I think it was so cool because I had two older cousins, a boy and a girl. And I would go visit them on the weekends and they were teenagers.
Got it.
And they were playing Boyz II Men and Jodeci and I mean, you name it, all of the R&B greats, you understand? And so I would get a little taste of it over there. And I was like, wow, this stuff sounds so great because it was so different because some of the gospel music that I was listening to had some of the same chord structures and the same type of sound, but they were talking about something else, of course, with R&B. I was like, wow, this is so cool. So that's the moment I would say that I fell in love with it, listening to and watching my cousins watch BET and MTV all day as teenagers in the 90s. And that was so cool. Like it influenced me so much. And I knew that I had a love for the sound of R&B, but I still had that Christian foundation. So I was kind of lost with what I needed to do up until 17. That's when things changed.
Dope.
Yeah.
Dope. Wow. You want to go?
Well, you all know I grew up Pentecostal.
Come on.
Come on.
My mama and daddy was like, not in this house. No secular music.
Yeah.
We could not really even watch TV except for on the weekends.
Wow.
And Sundays, we would watch BET gospel.
Yeah.
Bobby Jones.
Living legend.
Really, I started listening to secular music when I met my boyfriend in high school.
Uh-huh.
And then when I came here to Atlanta for college, that's when I really got exposed to lots of secular music. So in the early 2000s, I know R. Kelly's a bad name to mention, but Chocolate Factory, John Legend.
Yeah.
Aaliyah, I was Destiny Child's fan too.
Oh, yeah.
Genuine.
Yeah.
I know. But I had to get rid of like all my CDs when I came back.
Come on,
to
you
the
came
other
back.
Side.
I came back.
I came Shit. Back to the other side. I had to throw away Chocolate Factory.
Come on.
And all the CDs, but for me, it was college.
That's
now,
cool.
When I first fell in love with Christian R&B, I will definitely say that was when I met Ryan.
Yes.
Ryan Righteous of Trackstars.
Yes.
He introduced me to more of the genre.
Yeah.
So
I love it. I feel like I'm predating both of y'all because I'm a child of the 80s. I'm not gonna lie, y'all. I'm a child of the 80s. So growing up in the talent shows, everybody wanted to sing The Greatest Love of All by Whitney Houston. Yes. That's what they wanted to sing. That was like the talent show song. Even watching Showtime at the Apollo, they're going to sing, I Believe the Children Are Our Future. So all that to say, I would say Whitney Houston, definitely influenced by her. Huge Anita Baker fan. Huge Anita Baker fan. Actually, my husband and I had the opportunity to see her earlier this year, and at 65, phenomenal. She's still killing it. She's still killing it. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So I'm a huge fan of R&B, just music in general. But yeah, I would say that's probably when I fell in love with R&B. Christian R&B, just the realm, the world of Christian R&B, it took a minute because I was like, wait now, where can I find that music and not feel guilty? Yeah. Like, seriously, where can I find it? And so I would say probably in college was when I was introduced to definitely Kirk. He paved the way. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. I'll say Canton Jones. He paved the way. Yeah. And then Mary Mary. Yeah. For me, that was like Christian R&B, Christian R&B, where I was like, okay, I can do this. Like, and I don't have to wait till Sunday. Uh-huh. You know, like I can do this. So yeah. So those are our stories of when we fell in love with R&B. So, but now we got to shine a light on you. We got to give you your roses talk about how we were introduced to Jordan Armstrong.
I would love to hear that.
Yeah.
Yes. I'll start. So I'm going all the way back. To old school track stars at the other studio. Yeah. 10 years ago,
amazing.
Line for line between Chris Brown and Jordan Armstrong.
Put you against Chris Brown.
Which was a pleasure. I was in the other room, so I wasn't on camera. But I went back and watched it. I was like, trying to see who voted for who.
Yeah, yeah.
10 years ago,
that was a tough one.
And I remember too. I got receipts. Yeah, track stars. I got receipts. I remember what y'all said.
That was a tough one. I was like, I love them both, Lord.
This one was tossing love on you.
I remember. No, it's all good. It's all good.
It was a tough one.
But that is when I first got really introduced to your music.
Yeah.
And I love most recently, your My God. I love
Thank
that.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
So I jammed to that.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm working out, I like to listen to that type of music.
That's I really up. Appreciate that.
Can Thank I just you. Say what a blessing it is to be able to turn on the radio and hear your music now?
Wow.
Because for the longest, it was like, it felt like underground to me, you know?
Yeah.
But like literally to hear you on mainstream gospel, like you are blazing a trail.
It's been a journey, and to hear y'all's what you're saying, like it's been a long time coming, and God really, really, really has blessed me with a gift that I knew was something special. I didn't know what it was at the time when I first got it. I was like, what? When I realized it, but it has been a pleasure to be compared.
Mm.
You know, some people are upset about comparisons. Mm-hmm. I don't mind that. It gets the conversation going.
Yeah.
It gets people's minds going, you know? So I'm excited about that, but I'm really excited about radio. You know, we have to break a lot of barriers to get the sound that I do on radio.
Huge.
And now it's kind of a thing.
Yes.
So God has been so amazing. So I'm blessed.
Wow.
This definitely feels like a full circle moment from us talking about you 10 years ago to now you're here in our
It is
studios.
One. That is awesome. Full circle. Yeah.
So I got to take it back even further. I didn't realize this at the time, but Champions, your first project? Time. Okay.
2009.
Okay, so story time here. For those of you that may or may not know, my husband and I, we were friends for like a decade before we started dating. And so we went to the same church. I was over the bookstore.
Okay,
most people don't know that Line for Line came from this list that DJ Jeremiah created called The Alternative. Okay. So we had it in our bookstore and we would put it up and it'd be like, if you like Chris Brown, check out Jordan Armstrong.
Oh, wow.
If you like, you know, Destiny's Child, check out Mary Mary.
Yeah.
And so he would give me the list. He would update it each month and I would buy the artist on it because I was over the bookstore.
Yeah.
So that's how he introduced me to you.
That is so cool.
And so I bought Champion, put it in the bookstore.
That's lit.
Told people about it underneath the alternative list. And we introduced people to positive Christian R&B.
Thank you so much.
So
thank you. I never knew that. And to have you all doing that at your church bookstore too is just amazing. Like, it's so crazy because I love to hear these type of stories, because I was just in little old Baton Rouge, Louisiana, in a extra house behind a house.
Wow.
Trying to make this music with one of my best friends at the time. And, you know, I was just trying to do it. And who knew I was being talked about way out in Atlanta or wherever, you know? And I didn't know how much of an impact we were making. And so that's super dope to hear that, man. Thank you.
There's a need. There was a need and still is a need for Christian R&B, you know, especially for this next generation, you know, and just people in general. You know, we want to listen to music that, you know, that we can vibe to, you know, that
and
we don't
feel
have to
good
wait.
About.
Exactly.
That's
so
awesome.
That's what had happened was.
Let's go. Right, so that's what had happened was.
So we're going to get into your origin story.
Okay, let's go.
And we want to learn. You shared a little bit about, you know, how you got into Christian R&B and, you know, where you grew up and everything. But can you tell us about what led you to really start making music?
Yeah. So I'm a musician, too. So like I said, growing up with my mom in church, of course, I was always that little kid with a pair of drumsticks standing by the drummer, hoping one day I can play the drums and just beating on stuff, beating on the pews. And so at the church. And so I always knew I wanted to play music. But singing music, my mom made me sing this song on a youth Sunday. She taught me this song for about 3 weeks. And she was like, on youth Sunday, you're going to sing this song? I'm like, I do not want to sing. I was so afraid. I was like 6 years old. Yes, I'm like, I don't want to do that. I'm just, oh my God, y'all. And I was a tiny, I just got this size. Like, I was a tiny little, people thought I was like a 3 and 2 and when I was a kid. Wow. So she taught me this song. We went over it every week, all week after school. And so I got up there to sing this song on Youth Sunday. And when I got up to sing it, the response after church was just so amazing. I was like, folks was giving me candy, and the old ladies, church ladies was giving me candy and money. And I was like, oh, I like this. So honestly, me starting out singing, it was not for God. Wow. I'm going to just be honest. It's for the candy and it's for the money. And, you know, later on, I developed a relationship with Jesus, with God. But yeah, it started off from there. My mom started me. And from then on, even the musician was like, oh, yeah, we're going to get you. You can lead some songs.
All right.
So I started leading songs every youth Sunday. And I kind of became like in the city, almost like a child prodigy. When big acts would come into town, I was opening up for Kirk Franklin and Yolanda Adams and Heather Kai Walker. And I was, my mom would dress me up in these Stacey Adams suits. And, oh, my goodness. Mama had me looking fly, like for real. People would show up at church on Sunday to see what I was going to wear.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. They would tell me that. They was like, bro, we came to see how your mom was going to dress you. And so I think my mom really got a kick out of dressing me. Yeah. Even though we were poor, I didn't even know we were poor. My mom was spending all her money on making me look good. So shout out to mom.
Yes,
and
mom.
I don't think she knew she was creating a monster. Now I have a problem. I just buy clothes all the time. I can't stop buying clothes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, you growing up singing in the church and quite honestly, as a lot of R&B singers do.
Yeah.
What made you, number one, be like, okay, I'm going to continue to sing for the Lord, but I'm going to sing R&B.
Yeah.
Like, what made you consciously merge those two?
It was my love for Jesus Christ. Second, I never ever really wanted to sing R&B music. Even like in my bio, you said it was always, I always thought that. First was, like I said, my love for God. But second, I come from a long line of pastors and ministers and worship leaders and things. And so I never wanted to taint the Armstrong's legacy.
Yeah.
You know, I knew how strong we were, and I saw it from a young age, how strong we were in God. And I would never want to be the one to come and change it all with my secular stuff. You know, like why would I ruin the legacy? So honestly, that was the big thing. I wanted my grandmother to be proud. I wanted my family to be proud of me. I wanted God to be proud. So that's one of the reasons why I never did it. And also, I felt that God had given me a different taste, a different flair with gospel music. Because, like I said, I was growing up singing in church. So I was singing covers. I was singing Stand by Donnie McClurkin.
Okay,
I was singing,
okay.
I was singing When Sunday Comes by Daryl Coley. Mm-hmm. So when I dropped my first album, though, everybody was like, wait, whoa. Where's the little boy? Where's the young man that sung at the church? Yeah, I'm singing, don't you bow, don't you bend. Yeah, and so then I come out, my first song, it's got auto-tune, it's got 808s, it's on my drive me crazy, It's like, they were like, whoa. So I know that my family was very confused, but they supported me.
Okay.
They bought the albums, they were sending their $10 and buying my album, my CDs. God. And, you know, they supported me, but I know they was kind of like, what is going on? Uh-huh. And so I feel like at that moment, that was really when I kind of got into this Christian R&B world. Okay. And from then on, man, it's been a journey.
That's amazing. So can you tell us, a lot of people probably haven't even heard of Christian R&B if they're not in the genre.
That's real. Yeah.
So how are you overcoming those challenges of being in Christian R&B? Like, and just tell us a little bit about how you're overcoming.
I had it early. Like I said, I started in 08, 2009. And I got all of the beatings back then, you know, everybody was saying stuff back then. Mm-hmm. And, I think that it kind of built some tough skin for me.
Yeah.
And at the time, you know, it wasn't many of us, and it was a few people that were, when you would purchase my album, it'll say similar people below. This is old school iTunes right here, and it'll send you other artists too that are similar. And so a lot of those people, man, they were really good, but they're not here anymore. And a lot of those people are my friends, and now they, you know, they're just like, bro, thank you for carrying the torch, you know, past and doing your thing. But you know, it was important to me to keep doing what I felt God had told me to do. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, it's like I took a lot of the backlash for now something that is so trendy and cool to do.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, it doesn't matter what anybody says. Mm-hmm. I've heard it all. I was on YouTube. I would go look. I would go read the comments. People were saying stuff back then. It was Illuminati. Oh, he must be a part of the Illuminati.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Antichrist. This young man is singing this. Oh, yeah. This young man is, this is the devil's work. He's tricking us. And so I went through all of that.
Yeah.
And I think what was so great about it, though, is that my circle, God has always had a great circle of people around me that encouraged me, that is sometimes even encouraged me more than I could encourage myself. And they would keep me up, man. Sometimes I would get down about it and like, God, is this what I'm supposed to do? And they'll be like, but do you know who you are, man? Like, bro, I just let my homies hear this. They don't even listen to church music. Like, this is my homies from the street. Yeah. They love this stuff, bro. Like, you can change people's lives. And so that kind of stuff was helping me. And then just randomly meeting people, and they're like, man, you Jordan Armstrong? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, bro, you really changed things for me. Like, you were who I listened to in my transition from the world to here, man. And you know, I think that those type of testimonies kept me going. And so now I'm coasting.
That's what's up.
Music is so powerful too.
Very.
Yeah.
Like you were saying earlier, can transcend through airways. You don't know how many ears and lives that you have impacted.
Absolutely.
Because we've got YouTube, radio, all these different avenues.
Yeah.
So kudos for you.
Thank you so much.
So what inspires you? What has inspired you not only musically, but to keep going in the midst of the backlash and, you know?
It's ministry for me. It's almost like a pastor. It's like a pastor in my church's Christian R&B, the church. You know, I love the response. I love that, you know, we're changing people's lives with the gift that God has given us. And people coming to the concerts, you know, people singing the lyrics back to you, people constantly showing love, leaving great comments now, you know, things have changed. Yes. And just seeing the fruit of it, I think, is what keeps me going. And also, I've been able to do this as a career as well.
Yeah.
So I do this for a living. Me and my wife is like my my A&R.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you know, okay. She, yeah, she hears all the records first, and some of them she hears, she like, oh, no. And I say, okay, thank you, baby. I trust her. You know what I'm saying? And so this is what I do. I was created for this, and I wouldn't change my job for anything, even though I'm calling it a job, but it's actually a pleasure and an honor to do this for a living.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
That is the goal.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Exactly. To do what you love and yes. to earn a living doing it.
I would do it if I wasn't making any money. And so that's really how I knew it was a passion for me.
Yeah.
And I love creating because honestly, I feel like even beyond my artist career and having this as a career, I think I'll probably retire singing.
Wow.
You know, I really want to. I really love the behind the scenes part. I love the writing the songs. I love producing the songs myself. I love collaborating with other people and like creating it.
Yeah.
And you know, I can't be the guy forever. You know what I'm saying? You know, hey, MJ had to retire one time. You know, LeBron's gonna have to go sit down soon. And you know, just influencing and inspiring the next generation is my goal. So I'm excited about that.
That's what's up. Yep. So you say you like the behind the scenes more than the like performing and singing?
I do. Okay. And I always have, honestly. Like I said, I was going to be a drummer.
Yeah.
You know, my mama pushed me on the microphone. Yeah, you know, mom pushed me on the microphone. Church, you know, helped me with public speaking. You know, I learned that. And so when I did public speaking in school, I was killing it. My teachers were like, wow, you could really. I'm like, yeah, I've been talking in church my whole life. Like, they put me in front of the mic. We got to talk right, good. We have the crowd response. We got to do it all, especially Black church.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is just what I do. I was made for this. I was created for this. And I'm so excited that people are not just paying attention to the methods, but they're excited about the fruit of what we're doing. You know, some of the stuff may look off or, like, oh, were they having it at a club this time? Or oh, wow, they at the City Winery? Or what? Oh, what? You know, but let's talk about the fruit. You know, that we can change a place. You know, we can, these places are four walls.
Yeah.
We can bring the Holy Spirit into any of these places. We can bring God into any of these places. And so I'm so glad that the pandemic did it because that's when we start realizing that we didn't have to sit in the church to find Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, some people were finding Jesus at home. Right. A whole lot of things was happening. Churches weren't even open. We were doing everything virtual. We found Maverick City during that time. Yeah. Folk was just congregating in a circle and singing, you know, and so it changed a lot of things. And so I'm actually grateful for the pandemic. I know a lot of things terrible happened during that time, but I think it changed ministry for our genre a lot. And I was grateful for it because now folk ain't mad that I ain't at the church. You know, they'll come to City Winery. They'll come to these venues now to worship God.
Yes. Yep. And you will usher in the presence.
Thank you.
We are carriers of the presence of God. So we infiltrate whatever environments we step
in. Indeed.
So now, you know, we've talked to you all day.
Let's go.
We got to get into, though, we got to get into this Church Girls Love Army.
Oh, let's do it. You know, that's my thing.
I was like, it's like all the way in our business, like in certain skits and talking about relationships.
Indeed.
And I said, okay, we got to talk.
Yes.
You coming on over. So you got to tell us what inspired the Church Girls. Let's start with the album, the full-length album that you did, you know, a few years ago. What inspired that? And then we'll move into where you are now.
Well, I think the statement, Church Girls Love R&B, is really what started it all. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people were afraid to say that. Mm-hmm. And I knew that it was true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on now, you know. And I think we really see it whenever, you know, and I don't know if y'all participate in this, but, you know, every year Spotify sends you your playlist and everything that you've been listening to.
Uh-huh.
And I would see folk, I'm like, oh, okay, you listening to Chris Brown, Lil Baby, and Jordan Armstrong, and Mary, and Kurt Franklin. Wow, that is a real mix.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? And so it shows proof that, you know, people are listening to other things. Let's just keep it real. And so, just honoring church girls too. I think they don't get a lot of love.
Facts.
The church girls don't. And sometimes, you know, they've modeled church girls as square, lame. They don't know what's up. They're not hip. They not unsexy. Fly. Yeah, yeah. Unsexy.
We're just about to say, track stars on blast.
Straight up.
They did a segment called Christian Girls Aren't Sexy.
Okay, see, now I'm going to go get them when I go over there.
Please
get them. Because they sexy. There's some sexy church girls. I'm just saying. See, and nobody want to say that either.
Come on.
But, and I'm married. So I know they out there. My wife is one.
There you go.
But, you know, I wanted to change the narrative of that as well and shine a light on you all because, like I said, people have labeled church girls a certain way. And I also wanted to help them. I was in church and I was, like I said, I was a musician. So I was in church and I'm not going to say I was running through church, but I definitely was doing some things I shouldn't have been doing in church as a young man.
Yeah.
Two church girls.
Yeah.
And so I really felt like at a time I wasn't qualified to speak on it for you all. But now that I'm married and I've gone through those things, a lot of the stuff that's on that album is things that I actually was a product of. I was tricking these girls. I was talking to people and I was doing church girls really bad. And so just hearing it from my perspective, because I was kind of the corporate of it. Like I was the leader of it at the time. And so just I wanted to defend you all. I wanted to protect you all. I want you to feel safe. And I also wanted you to know how to deal with tough situations that we don't talk about in church, like heartbreak and divorce and, you know, just going through life as a Christian woman.
Yes.
And I know that it's rough. My wife went through a divorce before we were married, and just hearing her stories and just hearing how hard it is for single Christian women too, and the things that they have to go through and the pressure and all of those things. So I wanted to put all of that into a project. I tried to do it as best as I can on a small little EP.
Yeah.
But it's a whole ministry behind what I want to do with Church Girls Love R&B. And it's not just a cool name, but it's really ministry for me. And so there's more to come with that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can tell, like, you're taking us on a journey,
indeed,
you know. And so the first project I absolutely loved,
thank you, thank you.
And then you came with Girls Trip
this
summer. I said, oh, snap, okay.
Because things go down on Girls Trip. You know, we don't talk about that. And some Christian church girls go on Girls Trip.
Absolutely.
And most times, and if you're single, you definitely go on Girls Trip and you might mingle. You understand? Or you might be at the beach and you see a brother walk by. Y'all, like, I know, I've seen the movies. That's all I can compare it to. Yes. And then you go back to your normal life when you get back home. So I wanted to talk about that, you know, how to conduct yourself or handle those type of situations too. And so there's more of the Church Girls Love R&B's Girls Trip coming. There's more more sections to that, more parts.
So it's a trilogy, right?
Oh yeah, it's on the way.
I love it.
Like, thank you.
Where do you, and I know you don't want to give us all.
Yeah.
Give us all.
But
those,
go ahead.
But you know,
ahead.
Just give us an idea of where do you see these other two EPs going?
They're definitely talking about Girls Trip. They're talking about insecurities on a Girls Trip, and we're also talking about how a guy feels about his girl going on a Girls Trip.
Oh, snap. Well,
you know, so that's when we start. Now that's when the guys start sweating.
That's real. That's
We start getting a little insecure. Like, okay, well, where y'all at? What y'all doing? Where y'all? Y'all at the beach? Oh, that's what you wearing? Y'all
what
you wearing? You wearing that? Oh, why you wearing? You didn't wear that when we was. You know what I'm saying? So
I want to shed light on that too.
And so it's not just for church girls. You know, this is for the fellas too. You know, I wanted to talk about that. Like, these are just topics that the world talks about all the time, but us as Christians, we don't talk about that. And so the only information we have is from the world on how to deal with these things.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to talk about it. I'm a Christian man. I love my wife. I love my family.
Yeah.
I have a perspective on it. And I think that just being the first person to speak about it, I think speaks volume, and it's changing people's situations.
That's what's up.
Yeah. I think we definitely need more transparency in the church,
yes,
which is one of the reasons why we even started this
that's good.
Podcast.
That's good.
So that women can be authentic and transparent, because we go through stuff.
Absolutely.
And we need to know how to handle
yep.
and deal with those types yep. of situations.
Was, what does that look like to mm-hmm. apply the word of God? Because yep. so many times, you know, that's just the short answer. Mm-hmm. Oh, pray about mm-hmm. it. Oh, read yep. the word. And that's yep. great. Yep. Absolutely great.
Yep.
But like tangibly,
yes, I need the tools.
What does that look like?
Yeah, because the church, they do their job. They do. They mm-hmm. tell us, they give us the word, they tell us yeah. about it, and they give us the scripture, and they send us home to go figure it out.
Yeah.
And even, and I'll use this for example, like when me and my wife were thinking about getting married and I was thinking about proposing, we started doing premarital counseling, and I wanted both worlds. I talked to the pastor and the first lady. We sat down with mm-hmm. them and had some good churchy Bible conversations.
Churchy Bible
conversations, which I needed. How a husband should be, how a wife should be.
Yeah.
How you find that thing and see your rib and all that beautiful stuff. And yes, yes, thank you, Lord. And yeah. And so then I talked to another couple, which is a close friend of mine, him and his wife. And he's an ex R&B singer.
Okay.
And I wanted to hear theirs.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask them questions because absolutely. They were giving us. Okay, now we're not on the spiritual stuff. Now we're on the real stuff.
Yeah. Like,
we talked about double tapping. We talked about who you're following. We talked about communicating. Mm. You know, they don't even talk about that in church. They don't talk about how to communicate. They just tell you, this is what the man and the woman, you know, and those things. And so just how to communicate. So I wanted both sides of it. I wanted the real. And I wanted to spiritual.
Okay, I have a question.
What is double tapping?
Instagram.
It's what?
Instagram.
Oh, so like when you like it.
Yeah. Like, why are you liking that stuff?
Oh, God.
Yeah. And yeah.
I was like, wait now. Break down the double tap.
Baby, your wife's going to see that. You people right. are gonna see
you're
that,
right.
okay?
Why you like
yeah, who is that?
You
right.
wanna be with her?
Yeah, did y'all used to talk? Did y'all used to date?
That's
who
real.
Is that?
How y'all know each other?
Yes, mm-hmm. and women do it too. Do. So you know, it's wow. it's just those type of things because this is the new world we're in, yeah. y'all. This is we're in a digital right. world now, so right. the techniques and the styles and the tools are different from back
yeah.
then. So you can't just tell me I go to work and my wife is. At home and I bring home the bacon. That's old school now. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of ways to get in trouble. It's a lot of ways to disrespect someone that you're in love with or in a relationship with. And it's easy
yeah.
to do it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the biggest thing is I know for women is don't have me out here looking dumb. I know that's y'all top thing. Look, don't have me looking stupid. I love you with all my heart. Don't have me looking stupid out here.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I even had to learn. Mm-hmm. You know, and so we don't talk about that. Let's talk about that.
That's true.
Let's talk about that. And some of the fellas don't know. Some fellas are like, I mean, it's Instagram, it's Twitter, it's whatever. You post a like. That's what it's about, liking. Mm. It's not about that.
Yeah.
You know, my relationship is way more important than the application.
Yeah.
So just those type of tools, man, yeah. I want people to discuss in our community.
That's good.
You know, and just respecting who you love, respecting yourself.
Yeah.
Also, too, you know, fellas, women, it's a lot of women that think that showing certain parts or showing their body. And fellas like it. We like that. We love to see it, but we don't want it. We don't want it long term. You know, and so it's cool for right now. Yeah. It's beautiful right now. We like, oh yeah, she's a baddie, you know, this or that. But is that my wife?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, is that my wife? And so just talking about those things, it's actually what I think we should do more of. So,
I love it. I love it. And I gotta ask, because you're talking about, you know, we don't want to be out here looking crazy.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way with men as well? Where it's like, okay, you want to make sure who you're dating or who you're married to is representing you well.
Absolutely.
As well,
men feel that way too. You know, we don't want to look dumb either. Now we'll never say it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes men are just a little bit more, you know, like everything cool. They cool with everything. But you know, deep down inside, the fellas don't want that. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want that. We want you to ourselves. We want you to be just for us.
Yeah.
Now, you know, some fellas can get a little controlling. They got to work. Y'all got to work on that, fellas. Yeah. you ain't the
you, one
like yeah,
that
like
before.
Like telling you what to wear. Like, no. And nothing, you know, these things, you know, but let you know, that's a different world. That's not what I'm talking about. But just respecting each other and being with someone that you feel respects you. And I think that when a woman's in love, she changes. She changes her. Everything changes. She changes how she communicates with other people, how she communicates with other men.
Yeah.
She changes how she dresses.
Yeah.
She changes everything just for you.
It's true.
And so we have to honor that. We have to love that. We have to respect that. And we have to do the same.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's some good stuff. I have to ask, because we're gonna dive into just a little more talk about relationships outside of the music, because it was in the it inspired the music.
It did.
So for you personally, you talked about, you know, being the culprit at one point, and now here you are, you know, married father. You know, so what helped you transition from being the culprit in the church to I'm trying to settle down. I'm trying to do this right.
I fell in love. I fell in love. You know, I was out there playing around, and then I fell in love with my wife. And she kind of creeped up on me, though, too. I feel I still to this day, I'm like, oh, she tricked me. And I'm gonna tell you why. No, no, this not that kind of trick. But nah, she tricked me because she came in and we were just so close as friends. Like I was, and if you guys are on it too, I kind of shed light on it a little bit, but like we were really close. Like I was going out on dates and me and her would talk about my dates. I would talk about her dates and I would show her. She was like, oh, she's pretty, blah, 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 blah. And so I would tell her secrets. I'm telling her all kinds of stuff. If I knew there was going to be my wife, I would have, it's half of this I would ever told her. So she knew everything. And so when my wife moved to Atlanta, and I was here for probably about 6 months. And I was so excited because it was like a fresh start for me. I had just left from my hometown, and I had just left a relationship. And I was coming to Atlanta to start a new life, really, and change my life. It was like Atlanta was like college for me. I didn't go to college. And so when I got to Atlanta, I was like, oh, I'm a free man. I don't have to go to church every Sunday. I don't have to. Nobody telling me what to do. I'm grown now. So I was out here. I came to Atlanta. I was like, oh, this is Atlanta. I'm about to do all kinds of stuff. I'm about to trick. I'm about to trick. I'm tricking. So I'm in the streets. I'm out here. And Atlanta was embracing me, too. They were like, come on. They was like, hey. Oh, y'all. When I first came here, this is still. And see, Atlanta's so hip hop now.
Yes.
When I came here, Atlanta was still R&B and it was smooth and stuff. And, and the ladies was approaching the men. They was like, hey, how you doing? You you single, blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, ooh, I love Atlanta. So I came to Atlanta and I thought I was going to be a bachelor and just do my thing. And so for a good 3-4 months, I was having fun. And she wasn't my wife then, but she moved and she was like, I think I'm going to come to Atlanta. I said, oh yeah, you should come.
Where did she move from?
From Louisiana too.
Oh, wow.
So, but she's from a city called Shreveport.
Okay.
And so, which is about 4 hours away from, 3 to 4 hours away from where I'm.
Okay.
So we didn't know each other like that.
Okay.
But we met because I was booked at her church in Shreveport. And so from there, we kind of just kept in communication.
Got it.
We were cool.
And
so, but nothing romantic at all. It was just like this, like really homey right here. Like, and I had friends that were females before, so I was cool with that. But when she came to Atlanta, I was like, yeah, come to Atlanta. I said, Atlanta's cool. Like, it's great here. It's great. Everything. Jobs, you know, opportunity, everything. I said the music industry, because she's an artist too.
Okay.
So she sings. I was like, oh yeah, you need to come to Atlanta. It's going to change your life. It's changing my life. I've only been here 4 months.
Yeah.
So when she came, we started hanging out. And I mean, one night we went out, me, her, and a bunch of our other friends, because we had a bunch of friends that moved from Louisiana as well. And we went out one night and she had me take a picture of her. She was on the elevator. She said, oh, take my picture real quick. And so I was like, oh, I was like, can somebody else take a picture? I really thought that. And so then I was like, I'll take the picture. So she gave me her phone and she was posing and she took the picture. You know how y'all turn it on. You know, y'all turn it on. Y'all do. Y'all even got a picture eyes. Y'all just like,
get it.
Just squinting like, ooh, ooh. So yeah, so she took her little picture and I snapped the picture and I looked at it and I was like, it was like all of a sudden.
It was butterflies. It was hearts.
OMG!
And I looked at her and I was like, she was like, "What? Give me the phone." And I'm like, and I handed her the phone. I was like, "Oh my God, that girl, she is fine." It's like it just hit me out of the blue. And so, and then when she noticed it, she was looking at me like, mm-hmm.
Right here.
I've been right here. Like, yeah, I've been in your place.
I've been here.
I've been right here. I've been right here, Negro. Where you been? I know everything too. Yeah, I know it all too. Yeah, I'm ready for you. So I was like, dang. So I was scared. I got scared. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my Lord. So I fought it for about a month or so. And you know, we never really like made it official until like maybe a year later. But I mean, we knew it was something special there. And so we just started growing there. And then it was so dope too, because we were both new to Atlanta. So now we hanging out every day. Now we doing everything every day. We're helping each other. You know what I mean? She's bringing me groceries and, you know, helping me out. I'm staying at a house with a bunch of guys from Louisiana too. So she coming over there and, you know, this house like a frat house now. All right. So she coming over there shutting down shop. They like, man, your girl over here all the time, man. Have your girl go home, man. So, you know, and I think back now, and y'all stop me if I'm talking too much.
No, this is gold, y'all.
Yeah. So I had my homies even had a house meeting with me one time.
Oh, no, not an intervention.
Yes, y'all. They was like, hey, we got to, they text, group text. Yeah, let's have a house meeting 3 o'clock, man. Downs in the kitchen. So I didn't know what it was about. I thought it might have been about a bill or somebody didn't clean the kitchen that was supposed to, you know, this some that kind of stuff. So we get down there, they like, man, yeah, so, bro, we all been talking, man, and, you know, Jordan. And so I'm like, what, Jordan, what? They like, man, you know, Niecy been over here a lot, man, and, you know, she trying to do this and that, man, and we got, you know, we got, she know our girlfriends and stuff. Snap. I'm like, y'all, fellas. So they were like, she got to go. She got to go. She can't be coming over here. And sometimes she would hang out. We watch movies and stuff. And so they were like, she got to go. And so I was in such a tough spot because I didn't know how to tell her they said that. And if I told her they felt that way, she was going to get on them.
Oh, yeah.
She was going to come to the house in flames.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I know y'all. You know, because she knows them. And so so I went through that, man. I went through a lot of stuff. And it just really showed me how much I loved her.
Yeah.
I was willing to break everything, stop everything, end friendships, end it all. You know, they talk about bros before the other thing. Yeah. No, like this is when it was different for me. And so I was like, oh, I'm in love with her. And I was even still trying to find my way. And I was doing so many side little slick things and it was hurting her. She would cry. And when she would cry, I would feel like I wanted to cry. And I'm like, wow, I'm really hurting someone that loves me to death. And I'm in love with her. What am I doing?
Yeah.
Let's be together. Let's do this. And so that's what really made me make the transition for me from being out in the street. Mm-hmm. I found that special person. She changed it all.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Now, were they hating on you?
They were.
They were. Because you know what? I feel like if people are not in like happy relationships, so I feel like they be hating.
One by one, they have admitted to me now.
Oh, wow.
Through the years. And they're like, bro, y'all so locked in, bro. Like, wow, dog. And I remind her, I say, remember y'all had me sitting at the table. Almost had me lose that. Because at a point, I would have been like, bro, y'all right, man. Yeah, we supposed to be out here in the street.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, so each one of them now have really showed us how much they admire our relationship and how they want relationships like that.
Yeah.
And so two of my friends are married now, but the other three, they still out here trying to figure it out. But they like, bro, you was right. I should have been doing what you was doing.
It's rough now.
So they was hating. They were. Yeah. And they wanted to have fun because we were having house parties and everything. Yeah. We were tearing the house up. But, you know, it was a blessing that she came and she changed everything for me because it also started to affect my ministry because I was still doing that stuff and still getting bookings and still dropping albums that y'all love today.
Yeah.
And I was battling with that stuff and I was going through those situations. But when she came, she changed it all. Mm. Indeed.
That's good. That's love.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Niecy.
All right.
Shout out, Niecy.
Yes.
I'm through.
Yes.
Niecy did. Hey, look, she'll come on here. She'll talk, y'all. And she'll tell y'all some stuff about me, have me run out of here. Like, oh, yeah, because he was blah, blah, blah. Thank the Lord, you know. But
We have a series where we literally have talked about women that have supported and are supporting prominent men, and so
she stuck beside me.
And, I love it.
You know, they say I'm gonna stick beside him.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely did that, and it's a lot of times she could have ran away and just been like, "Look, bro, I'm going here because I ain't with the games."
Yeah.
But I think she saw something in me that I didn't see, and it's okay sometimes to date potential.
Yeah.
And it's okay sometimes to believe in a person. You can definitely have your limit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're like, okay, now if this been 10 years,
yeah,
his brother still sitting on the sofa with that tank top on.
Oh Lord.
not the thing.
Yes. I had to paint the and picture for you.
On the sofa.
Yeah, just sitting on my sofa.
Yes.
And I come home from work.
Come on.
So you know that there's you have to have boundaries, yeah. But I think dating potential sometimes is great if you have the time and you have the ability. Mm-hmm. And if you see something in a person and you encourage that man,
yeah,
that he can be something special, and you see that it's starting to work for him and the things are turning around, more power to you. Cause she did it for me.
That's a whole topic.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Date potential.
Yep.
I was gonna say we gotta pick your brain. Number one, we have a lot of singles that watch the show. Right. So any words of wisdom that you would give to those that they in the dating game, they trying to find their Boaz and they like, look, it's hard out here.
Don't be afraid to ask the questions. Mm. A lot of times people are telling you not to ask certain questions on dates.
Mm.
Ask all the questions up front. Find out who this person is, because I know it starts off with looks, and I know it starts off with a friendship or connection that somebody made for you, or you know the same people. But ask the questions, ask the tough questions, and if he starts to get to sweating and nervous, and then hey, there go your answers,
you
know. But find you a man that is not afraid of your questions, and you know, ask him everything that you want, because you want to be sure that this is someone that you want to be with. And also, singles, if you're just dating to date, then just date. But if you're dating to find your husband, ask them tough questions. Get in his business.
That's good.
Get in his business. And if he afraid that first time, then move on.
Wow. Y'all heard it here.
Because a real man respects that. Like, okay, wow, she really want to know all of this. Now, he might be thrown off a little bit in the first question, first couple questions, but then you know, like, okay, yeah, she really wants to get to know me. Mm-hmm. And that really helps you narrow out the people that are just here to play.
That's good.
You know, get in their business. Ask them a question. Okay, how are you with your mom?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question, too, to ask a man. Because how's your relationship with your mother?
Yeah.
Because that's the woman that he first loved.
Yeah.
That's the woman. That's his first love that he's going to be in love with forever. How is your relationship with your mom? Oh, yeah, we ain't on good terms. My mom will be better. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Next.
I'm gonna be a mom.
That's real,
right?
Out of here. Thank you. This was nice, though. This is good food.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Move on. So
thank you for taking care of the check.
Ask that brother about his mama. I'll say that. Just stick with that. Ask him how he treats his mama. Watch how he treats his mother. Watch how he treats his sister.
That's so good.
You know, watch how he treats the important women in his life. And then that's where you can kind of build from there. So that's what I say to single women.
That's good, y'all. I hope y'all taking notes now. Gems all over the place. Pick them
up.
That's
important.
And then, too, for those that are in relationships, if they're in a serious, committed relationship, if they're married, what are some tips or words of wisdom you can give to having healthy relationships?
Communication. Fellas, I'm talking to the fellas if they tune in. And ladies, too. The fellas don't like to talk all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to discuss everything. But I've come to realize that discussing things really opens the door for your relationship.
Yeah.
And communicating really sets the tone to where I'm not wondering anything.
Yeah.
You're not wondering anything. Let's sit down and talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I've developed this talking thing because my wife loves to talk. She'll sit down and we'll have a meeting quick about anything and everything. And so I've learned that communication actually makes the relationship better because first of all, when y'all was friends and y'all was trying to get each other,
come on.
Y'all was talking all the time, that's talking about everything. Good. Y'all was just chat, didn't even want to get off the phone.
Yep.
Chatty patty. Mm-hmm. And so now that y'all together, now everything is so, I don't talk about that, man. What we got to talk about that for? We married now.
Uh-huh.
You know, are we in a relationship now? No, keep talking. Keep the communication going. That gets rid of a whole lot of devil. Because we don't have idle minds anymore.
Yeah.
We talk about it all.
Yeah.
And so even when I'm going through something, even tough conversations, you got to talk it out.
Wow.
Talk through it. Okay, babe, well, I don't like that you said it like that.
Mm.
Okay, I don't like that you said this. Or I don't like that you did that. I don't like that you double tap. That's it. I don't like that. That makes me feel low. That makes me feel bad.
Wow.
Like, I don't like that. My wife had to tell me that. She was like, that makes me feel really terrible.
Yeah.
That I see that you liked the bikini.
Yeah.
The bikini butt. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow, Jay.
Yeah.
For real. My wife had to hit me with the homie side of it too. Like, wow, bro. Like, for real? Like, I'm right here. Like, you need me to turn around? I saw you. Yeah, like what you need, baby? Like, for real. Like, and do I need to step it up? Is that what's going on? And I'm like, no, baby, you're right. You don't. You're doing a great job. I'm tripping. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Thank you for having that conversation with me. I might not have liked it. Mm-hmm. I may not like that I have to change now. I may not like that I have to navigate different on Instagram or whatever. But it's affecting my woman. Mm-hmm. My wife don't like that. And ladies, your husband don't like that.
Well,
go talk about it. Yeah.
We take the medicine.
He don't like how you said that to him. Because I'm gonna tell you, man's biggest thing, and I'm not gonna hold y'all too much longer, but man's biggest thing is respect.
Yeah.
Respect and sex. That's it. You could do whatever you want to do. Women, y'all have free liberty to do whatever you want to do. That man just wants to be to feel respected, and he wants some cookie.
Amen.
That's what he wants. That's it. Everything else, you do whatever you want. You could put stuff in the house a certain way. He don't care.
Yeah.
He don't care. You got stuff everywhere. I drop one sock and you like, oh my God. You have your socks everywhere. I'm like, well, this whole house is your stuff.
Uh-huh.
Everywhere is your stuff.
It's yours.
Yeah, it's all you, baby. So those two things, but just respect. I think that sometimes, you know, especially black women are, and not just a single black woman, but women, you know, y'all can get a little sassy. Y'all can get a little, you know, well, I don't, you know. And so
the imitation.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Excuse me. No offense. No offense, but you know the fella, you know, fellas see stuff way different than y'all. We see it, we hear it as a noise. We hear it as a sound and a noise.
Yeah.
But you know, we call it nagging and those things.
Got it.
You know, those things, just the respect, I think, is key. Just respecting your man, he gonna be all right. If you respect him, he good.
Amen.
Be good. Respect the man cooking. I'm telling you.
I love it. That's it.
For married folks.
I love it.
Married folks is for the cooking.
I feel like, you know, when Steve Harvey dropped the Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, but I feel like this is the musical version of that, y'all. Like,
he was spot on.
He was spot on. The playbook. Yep. So I love it. Thank you. Like I said, we could be here all day, but we know our husband's going to come in here and be like, look, now he's supposed to be on Trackstar.
Hey, let's go.
So we want to close out with what's next for you? I know we talked about, you know, you got two more EPs coming out for Church Girls of R&B, but what's next for you as a person, a musician, a father, a husband, all of the above?
Man, a lot. Definitely the fatherhood thing is really big for me right now. Now I'm trying to balance and figure out space for music, because music was my first love, and second was honestly my life, and because music was just so was first for me forever. And so now I have such a loving family at home now, because it's even different. Even though I was married, I still didn't feel like I had a family. I still it's like, that's my girl. Still, like, I gotta ride for her, I gotta provide and do all those things. But now it's like, just one little person came into the world. Now I became a family. Now I'm thinking like, oh wow, I'm a family man. You know, like, I got to think different, you know, even with my spending, with my decisions, with the way I move, my travel, everything has changed now. And so just thinking of that has affected a lot of plans that I thought I had. And so I'm kind of living month to month now since I've had a baby.
Yeah.
Of course, I want to do music. I'm just trying to figure out how to fit it all in and still be there for my family and do music in my career. But what's next for me is definitely more music. More photos. I'm excited about my baby. I want to post her every day. I never knew I would be that type of dad. Definitely touring again next year. I'm excited about that. And I'm also working on some Christmas music.
See,
the baby did that.
All right.
The baby did that. So
I'm
dropping I'm working on some Christmas music. I haven't even told anyone that. So I'm working on Christmas music right now. And so that's what's next. Touring next year, new music. Some film stuff too. I'm working on.
Behind the scenes, in front
of
the
scenes. No, I'm gonna be in front of the scenes. You may see me on a big screen.
Oh, snap!
Yes, I'm getting to some acting.
Yes,
congratulations!
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
I love it. I love it. Wow.
So, we want to give you an opportunity. Okay. We have this segment called Noble Character, and we typically like to allow our guests to recognize a woman or women in their life or in the community that that has inspired you.
I'm gonna go back to my mom. Mm-hmm. My mother definitely inspired me. Like I said, I had no clue that we were living the way we were living. I didn't know we were poor. She did such a great job of creating this world for me as a single mom that I had no clue, you know? Wow. And so thinking back now, I remember us struggling to pay for a 3-bedroom apartment, you know, rent and, you know, birthdays. And now as an adult, I'm playing it back. I'm like, oh, that's why, you know, my mom would tell me sometimes why we would go to my aunt's house on Tuesdays and because we could eat there. My aunt would always cook, or why we would go to my grandmother's house on Saturday mornings because my grandmother would make breakfast, you know, and so those things, and we knew we could eat there.
Yeah.
So it was so different, man, just thinking back now. But my mom is definitely a hero to me because she changed my life. She gave me life, first of all, but she really thugged it out, man, just her and me. And she created me. I've never been in jail. I've never been arrested. Never did drugs. You know, she was a village. Her and a little bit of my family really helped me. So shout out to mom.
Yes. And can you share your mother's full name?
Yeah. Verna Armstrong.
All right. Verna Armstrong.
Yes.
You are a woman of noble character.
Yes. Indeed.
I love that. Indeed. I love that. We got to give a shout out to your wife too.
Can you share your wife's name? Niecy Armstrong, man. Yes. Y'all follow her too. Supernatural Niecy on Instagram.
Yes.
She's spot on and locked in motherhood now. So you're going to see her and baby girl Epic on everything now. So she's excited. And shout out to my wife.
And drop your handles.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah. My handles, Where's Jordan everywhere. Mm-hmm. So that's WHERESJOR_DAN. And that's everywhere, anywhere social media is, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere.
Love it.
Yep.
Love it.
This has been amazing.
Yeah, thank y'all. Thank y'all are great. This is fun. I got to come back to the pink room. Look, I call it the pink room. Yeah. Let's go.
The pink room. We're here for you.
Yes.
Oh, this was amazing. So thank you for coming by.
It's been a pleasure.
It was an absolute pleasure.
Thank
on this
you so much.
As well, we have loved it.
Thank you. Thank y'all.
Yes. And as always, don't forget to get your merch from our website at Becoming Eva.
Yes, you can hold that on up.
Today, your mugs, your water bottles, we got flip-flops.
You wearing a shirt, rocking our shirt.
One of our shirts.
Yeah, that stuff is fancy, too.
We got dresses.
Come on.
Totes. Check it out.
Mm-hmm. All of the above. So visit us at becomingevatoday.com. Get your merch, support us, and and follow us as well. Follow and subscribe if you haven't already at Becoming Eva Today. So we will see y'all next time.
See you soon.
Yes.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.